And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, December 7th. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Darren. I'm here with Kevin. Please listen to us any way you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Send us posts and thoughts and questions. We want to talk to you about all this stuff that's going on. Today, we're going around the world of sports. We're going to start with baseball. Mets and Yankees have strong starts to the offseason. The winter meetings are now over, and they ended with a bang all over baseball. Tons of stuff going on. In New York, that bang was the judge's gavel as Aaron Judge signs a big deal with the Yankees. It's 9 years. It's $360 million. It's going to be a long time that he's here. They're going to talk about making him captain. 9 years is a long time. It's $40 million a year. Originally, I thought it was going to be 10 for 400. So I was in the ballpark. They didn't have to go to 10th year. It sounds like the Padres had a big offer on the table and Judge went back to the Yankees and said he wanted to stay. The Yankees matched the offer and he's here. You're going to get 5 good years from the guy. I think you're going to get 5 good ones. You'll probably get 2 at about 50% capacity. The last 2, you're probably going to struggle. It's probably going to be about 25% of capacity. But the Yankees did what they had to do. They went out and got the guy they needed to get. They brought him back. Guys, what do you think about this to start? Kev?
Okay. I think Yankees had to do it. 100%, 1,000%. They had to do it. We watched his team last year. Aaron Judge was the offense.
Yep.
You take him out of that lineup. What do you have?
Nothing.
Then you replace him with Brandon Nimmo.
Nope.
A little bit of a come down. Just a little bit. Gino, you're right. I think you're going to get still 5, maybe even up to 6 terrific years from him.
Yeah, maybe.
That gets him to, 36. Then if he starts falling off, in that 6th, 7th, 8th year, you're hoping it doesn't wind up being Albert Pujols at the end of his contract. You're hoping that he can still, even if he's, getting to be 39, is more of a DH type, he should still be big enough, strong enough, athletic enough to still pop you 25 home runs as a DH.
I agree with you, and I don't think we need to start worrying about years 7, 8, and 9 right now. So I agree with you. Sure. Darren, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. Like Kev said it perfectly, you had to keep him. The thing is, when you have a homegrown guy that becomes a star, it's hard to let him walk. And, you're the New York freaking Yankees, okay? You're the pinnacle in this continent, basically, with maybe the Montreal Canadiens are the only other franchise, or the Celtics, but the Yankees are the pinnacle of sport. And, you have the biggest, baddest guy in town. You have a chance to keep him. And they did. Actually, by Monday, Tuesday, I was starting to feel a little negative about it. After DeGrom left, and even though we all knew DeGrom was going to leave, I'm not going to try to pretend that I thought there was a chance, but when he left for Texas, and it wasn't for Atlanta, or it wasn't for like going home and all this other stuff, but it was because he got the years, I started saying to myself, is Judge the kind of guy that's going to want to get back home? I didn't think San Diego was – we didn't know San Diego was the other bid.
Yeah, exactly.
We really didn't know. I mean, San Diego
– I kept hearing San Fran
twice this week. They offered more money than everybody else. They lost Turner, and they lost Judge. So I guess people don't necessarily want to go to San Diego. But I thought it was – I thought the Giants had a real shot. I was really, and then Heyman comes out with the report on Twitter that he goes to the Giants. He craps the bed, so to speak, with his stupid freaking early quote, and gets that out. Then all of a sudden we're all like saying, oh, well, it's going to be done by the end of the night now. Now we just lost him. Shoot. What's the next step? Much like what Kevin was talking about last time when DeGrom left, where, okay, we got to get Verlander. We just have to, there's no choice. It's like, you have to do this. But there's nobody that replaces Judge in that way. We're going to get a bunch of shortstops to come in and play for Judge. It doesn't really work. But like Kev saying, the thing I love about it is that he's so big that hitting home runs outside of – and he hits the other way as it is now already. hitting 25 to 30 homers for this guy as long as he stays healthy. And let's remember this. He's not always been healthy.
No, not at all.
We're not talking about a guy that's, you know, the pinnacle of health over his career here. He's had seasons where he's been banged up a lot. But if he can stay healthy somewhat, he should be able to hit 25 to 30 homers. Stanton's contract's off the table by then. He's the pure DH, you know, at the end of the contract. But right now, like you said, G, we'll worry about 7 years when 7 years comes down the line. Kev?
The last 2 years, he's been very healthy.
He's played
300 games. Maybe he's figured out his body.
Could be.
No.
Could very easily be.
And the Yankees also figuring out his body to say, we're not used to a guy who's 6'8", who is as big as he is and as athletic as he is. And maybe they've unlocked the key to keeping him healthy.
Yeah, because they did a great job keeping Ellsbury healthy. I'm not going to give the Yankee training staff anything. Nothing.
I'm sorry
to cut you off. But that was my point. They kept Ellsbury after that contract healthy.
Well,
but no, I'm joking, of course, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
it was it was you know, because the Red Sox have been doing some things and the Cubs are making a little bit of move and stuff like that in the National League. So we're seeing some moves and we're going to go through them all. But you know the Red Sox are trying to improve. The Blue Jays are young and they're going to be around for a while. So there's a lot of excitement going on in that division. G,
I think we're all on the same page. This wasn't a move for the Yankees. This was their only move. Okay, and listen, all they have really done so far this offseason is bring back Rizzo and bring back Judge to a team that couldn't win. So they still have work to do. We know they're not finished. We don't know what they're going to do with the young infielders. We don't know if they're going to bring Benintendi back. We have no idea which way they're going to go with some of these guys. The only other move they made was signing Tommy Kahnle to come be another guy out of their bullpen. They lost James Tyon already.
Yeah,
he signed a deal with the Cubs.
Yep.
So, you know, this is the start, but, you know, I think we're all in agreement. This wasn't the only move they had to make, but this was the move they had to make. There was no replacing this anywhere else based on the free agents that are out there right now. So, you know, we're going to sign him. We're going to deal with it. And, you know, 7 years from now, if the contract sucks, the contract sucks. I mean, we've seen it before with some of these aging veterans. Kev?
And this is the Yankees. Just like the Mets, if Steve Cohen still has control of this team, there's no shortage of deep pockets.
They're not Dodgers, Red Sox. There are certain teams that'll find a way around it, and the Yankees are one of them. You know, it's exciting to talk about baseball this time of year. I love talking about baseball 12 months a year, and it's really kind of cool that this kind of happened. The American League East is going to be thrilling, but the Yankees, like you said, a lot of holes. Tommy Kahnle does not fix a bullpen that we couldn't go to at all. The starting rotation is still a mess. You know, the young infielders, we don't know. And you know they're going to get another somebody into this lineup somewhere along the line. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Kev brought up the Mets, so let's move to the Mets next. And that is DeGrom leaves, signs a deal with Texas. It's 5 for $185 with a 6th-year option. The Mets don't blink, and that's the key. And we talked about this a month ago when we first talked about this. If DeGrom leaves, what is their option? And we the three of us actually said it. They only had one option to do this, and they did it. They came out a day later and was like, okay, we need to go get the guy we need. And bang, they signed Verlander. It's 2 years. It's 86. There's a vesting option for a third. And that's what happened.
Guy's 40. My God.
Okay. All right. Now, the other thing that happened with the Mets today is they wind up signing Quintana for 2 years for $26 million. So they've already signed two pitchers. Kev, talk to me about the Mets right now.
All right. First, I did not mind losing DeGrom with that contract he was given. I think the Rangers are nuts. 5 for $185 for a guy who's pitched 30 games the last 3 years, plus a 6-year option. And what people have to remember, the Mets could have matched $37 million. Well, remember, $37 million in Texas is a lot different than $37 million in New York because of there's no state income tax. So now you've got to be up at that $43, $44 million a year. And to pay that to DeGrom 5 or 6 years out, I think is foolish. Getting Verlander. I loved it. I loved those 2 years. Did they overpay? Yeah.
You didn't have a choice. Again, we're going to go back to this, though. You don't have a
He's
choice.
He's 40.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't. You want the big pitcher. If you want the big pitcher, and Kev said it, and Kev, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
Kev just said it, and that is he didn't want to go 5 years for DeGrom. Well, if you don't want to go 5 years for DeGrom and you want another big pitcher, and we already talked about it, there was only one other guy out there, then you got to overpay for Verlander.
So you're afraid to go to DeGrom to age 40 because that scares the hell out of you. But going to Verlander at the 43, perhaps, doesn't scare you.
He just won the AL Cy Young.
I get it. And he looked amazing in the playoffs. So now here we are in a big spot where Scherzer shit the bed, excuse my terminology, crap the bed. And now all of a sudden we're going to go to another guy that can't get anybody out in the playoffs and hasn't done anything in the playoffs since 2016.
I'll worry about the playoffs when we get to the playoffs.
I understand that. You just watch the playoffs at home and you watch the Padres wipe the floor with you.
Nope.
I'm just saying here, the Mets made a mistake in my eyes by not matching the offer that DeGrom was never going to take anyway. And you know why? Because they could have saved face saying that we kept our homegrown guy. We offered the same amount. He chose to go there. Not every fan is thinking about the freaking state income tax. They're not. And he wasn't coming back, and you know it. He wasn't going to come back anyway.
He wasn't coming back.
You save face by making the offer to your homegrown guy rather than paying more to Scherzer and you're paying more to Verlander, who didn't start here. To me, I don't know. I like my homegrown players. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm on my own. I like the guys that are the original Yankees.
It's just you, though.
Here's why I'll be more upset. If Brandon Nimmo gets a contract the Mets should have matched and he walks, I'll be more upset at that.
Because DeGrom has done nothing well for the Mets.
It's just you, though, Darren.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about DeGrom has been disrespected with Matt Harvey. Oh, he's not as good as Harvey. He's not as good as Syndergaard. He's been disrespected by this fan base since he got here. Disrespected. No, he's always been thought of as the second or third option by this fan base. Absolutely not. Until he kind of came on. And then they gave Scherzer more money than him. They wouldn't even match it the first time. And now they come back and they give Verlander $43 million for a 40-year-old. I'm not saying that it wasn't the right move. I'm saying all you had to do to save face was to make the same offer that he was never going to take and say, listen, we bid what they bid. He went that way because he's our homegrown guy. He's a Met. There's got to be something about that. Seaver leaves. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you look at the guys at home run that are really good.
Seaver was traded.
I know, but they let him go. The franchise let him walk.
But Darren, I got to tell you, you're bringing up a point that I haven't heard one Met fan come and bring that point.
I don't care. I'm bringing up the point that I'm thinking.
Okay, but I'm telling you, I haven't heard one Met fan tell me,
The Mets fan had decided that they wanted DeGrom out of here because he hasn't been taking the ball, and I get that.
I don't hear anybody crying, though, we didn't match DeGrom.
I'm not saying that they should, but he's a homegrown guy. I'm sorry.
I think you take that a hell of a lot more seriously than everybody else, especially in this game.
To me, he's a Met that's had a really good career as a Met. He's had a couple of bad years down the stretch.
And now he's really done.
He's a Ranger.
And
he's
going to
pitch for Bochy. And you know what? He's going to find his rhythm with Bochy. You know it and I know it, that Bochy's going to make that team better. And all of a sudden, you're going to be sitting there saying, I'm stuck with a 42-year-old.
And if the Mets win a pennant with Scherzer and Verlander, no one's going to care about DeGrom.
Yeah, because the pennant's the most important thing. The World Series means nothing. You're right. You got me. They don't need a World Series. They win them all the time at Shea or City.
In the two-year stretch, do you think there's such a huge difference between DeGrom Verlander in the next two years?
No.
Neither do I.
No, so, but we don't know. We don't know when Verlander stops.
You're right.
He's 40.
And based on the last 2 years, based on the last 2 years, you have no idea how many innings you're getting out of DeGrom.
And you have no idea. You have no idea what you're going to get because the last three starts you saw from Verlander looked like crap this year. The last three starts did not look good. You can't tell me they did, Gino. You watched the playoffs like I did.
They didn't, but you're basing this on a point that I think has no merit at this point.
How does it have no merit? That you don't want to keep your homegrown players?
Yeah,
Kevin
exactly.
Just brought up the fact that he would be pissed if Nimmo would walk because the Mets didn't match.
I think you're really overblowing that this whole theory.
He's a Met.
Because Kev's a Met fan. I don't think he cares.
He didn't care.
No. And I can tell you, I don't care.
You felt like he knew he was leaving. He didn't want to be here anymore.
I get it. But you know what? He's still been good. It's not like he's been crap for this team.
Nobody's saying he hasn't been good, but you're coming out with this thing about them saving face. I didn't hear one Mets fan say we didn't say face.
I get what you're saying, Gino, but the fact of the matter is this: Verlander's coming off Tommy John 2 years ago, had a great year this year. Do we know what we're going to get from him next year? But we're going to give him $43 million a year to see if he's the guy. I mean, it's a lot more than you would have had to pay $37 million for DeGrom, and he's 5 years younger. He would have probably said no anyway.
Oh, wait. Last we saw
DeGrom in September last year, he was pitching to a 5.5 ERA.
He was. No doubt about it. And last we saw Verlander, he was pitching above that.
So Darren, is your point
in October?
Is your point that they didn't sign DeGrom? Or is your point that they didn't save face with DeGrom?
So my point was that you didn't do everything you could to keep a homegrown Met a Met. You decided that he wasn't worth crap. You offered him 3 years instead of five, instead of four. You didn't go higher than three. Basically, you said you didn't want him.
Okay.
You've been good for me, but I don't want you anymore because it looks like you don't want to be here.
I respectfully disagree with that.
I wouldn't have done it the way they did it.
He's pitched 30 games the last 3 years.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And Verlander, you know, again, he pitched well last year and the year before he had Tommy John. It's not like he's been a beacon of health, and we don't know how 40-year-olds are going to react off Tommy John 2 years down the line. We just don't know.
We don't.
Listen, I hope to God he pitches great. I want the Mets to do well. It's not that I don't, and that this is the move that was going to end up anyway. I just don't know how you could be so flippant, and Met fans couldn't turn their back quicker on DeGrom, and they were turning it on him during the season last year. Oh, he doesn't take the ball. And I'm like, I get it, but my God, he's been really a good player for this organization for a long time. And people couldn't wait to turn. Met fans are like Jet fans. We turn in a heartbeat on people. It's like, oh, he sucks now. Oh, we can't wait to get rid of him. It's the same fan base. That's why, except for me, that roots for the Yankees by accident.
I wanted to ground back.
But I didn't hear a lot of Met fans saying they didn't. And you can't tell me you didn't hear that too. Ah, good riddance. I heard it. Good riddance. Good riddance. Yeah, he's been a bum here, G. A bum.
Listen. Back-to-back Cy Youngs was putting together a historic year in 2021. Got hurt and hasn't been the same
since. Has not been the same since. You're 100% right. I just think that he's a Met. I don't know.
And that's why the Mets wanted to go 3 years.
I don't think.
So we got a guy on Tommy John, so we're going to give him 86 for two. I get it. And give him the third year for when he's 43 is the option. If he pitches the innings.
If he's not healthy, it's 2 years.
And he doesn't have to get it. I get it. I just think, wow, it's a lot of money for an old man. I don't know. We'll see. If he comes to town, it's a bonus. You know, there's a lot of good things about it.
We texted. I said two years, $80 million.
I said too high.
And you even said too high at $80
million. I was like, he's 40. But apparently, I don't understand the market, so that's fine. I thought that the Judge thing would come in at 40. I didn't think that the Verlander thing would come in at 43. I got to be honest.
They want him to match.
Just wrap your head around the fact that next year it's going to be Ohtani. And where's that number going to be? Because he's going to pitch every fifth day and he's going to hit the other four. 50. Oh, my God.
50.
He's going to be at 50, Kev. He's going to be there. You're right. I mean, a deal will be 48.
That's where we are now. The Mets will make sure Steve Cohen will not be outbid. Whether Ohtani wants to come here or not, that's a different story. I don't think Steve Cohen will be outbid.
Well, the Dodgers are the only team that are going to – well, the Yankees will play too, but I think the Dodgers are saving their money this year for next year. That's my take. They haven't done anything yet.
Well, the Mets go 50, and they've got 1 year where they've got, you know, $140 million tied up in their top three pitchers. But then after that, you lose $86 million.
No doubt. Listen, Ohtani's going to get what he wants. The Yankees, Mets, and the Dodgers will all be in. And apparently the Padres bid on everybody that comes down the pike now. So who the hell
knows? Right.
Small market Padres. Before you know it, the Pirates are going to start bidding like this. What's going on?
Prediction.
Yes.
Prediction on Ohtani.
Yep. Oh, you want us to make it?
Eight for 50.
Eight at 50. Eight for 400.
Yeah. That's because eight for 50, I would take it.
Yeah. Eight is 50.
I think the Pirates million. Are in play, Kevin, if it's 8 for 50.
50 million a year, 8
That's
years.
The Pirates offer.
And there it is.
I think it's going to be, I honestly think it's going to be 9. I think it's going to be 9 for 425. I think it's going to be just a little under 50. But I think it's going to be right there.
Yep.
I have a hunch, you know, I think it's going to come down to New York or L.A. I know he's leaving Anaheim, but if he likes L.A., he'll stay with the Dodgers. If not, he'll come across.
Anything,
the
anything
other minor signing was, as you mentioned, Quintana. Nice little filler there.
Well, you traded Quintana for Walker. So what do you think about that, Kev?
I'm fine with that. I think
Taiwan wasn't bad last year, but Phillies gave him a good amount of money, I thought.
Four years, $72 million. That's 18 a year.
Yeah.
I know sounds Quintana nothing for compared to 43.
What? What was that?
Taiwan? Yeah, Walker? I thought it was 3 for $72 million.
No, it's 4, I think.
4 for $72 million.
4 for $72 million. Okay. And Quintana's 2 for $26 million. So yep. 13 against 18. Quintana gives you a lefty in the rotation.
That's what I like.
He's just a little bit hittable. But so is Taiwan Walker. So it's Taiwan throws harder. But
and I don't know what the fence reconfiguration is going to do, but we know City's never been a big offensive ballpark.
Very true.
Mets do have a pretty decent defense. We'll see how it looks next year.
Well, Nimmo's going to be the key to that right here.
They
have to resign Nimmo. They just do.
I mean, when you hear like, oh, if we lose him, we'll get Kevin Kiermaier. It's like, no.
Well, Andrew Benintendi. I mean, they're nice players, but Brandon Nimmo's a spark player.
We'll move Marte back to center field. No.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other deals that got signed. We'll bring them up. The other big one on the board was Trey Turner, 11 years, $330 million.
$300 million, right? Or is it 330?
330.
I have 300.
I had 11 for 300.
Yeah, we both do. Gino, you're wrong. You can shake your head all you want. Once again, incorrect.
You're outvoted 2-1.
He took less than 30. He took less than 30.
Less than 30.
He took less than $30 million a year. The Padres offered 348. He turned that down for the 300 from the Phils.
That's a steal for the Phillies.
And you got to remember, though, maybe Turner. Gino gave me the intel this week that he wanted to play with Bryce Harper.
Yep.
I didn't know that. But also, the Padres had him originally. They traded him in that Will Myers deal a few years back. And maybe he was just like, screw you. You traded me the first time. I'm not coming back. I don't know. Now Gino's looking at those notes to try to shut us up. It's great. I thought it was 3. I have 11 for 3. If you're right, you're right. I'm just messing with you, Gino.
It's 11 for 3.
Look, you shook your head like you knew and you didn't know. Look at that.
I'm not looking it up. So elsewhere, Josh Bell signed with Cleveland. Bellinger signed with the Cubs. We got a lot of different guys all over the place. Kenley
Yoshida tonight signed with the Red Sox, the Japanese player.
That's where I was going.
Good numbers there. We'll see what that translates over here. Matsui was a good Yankee, so you assume the kid will be able to hit here. And then there's Shinjo. So you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to get Matsui or Shinjo.
The Red Sox also brought in Kenley Jansen to
solidify their pen.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a home run waiting to happen.
At Fenway?
At Fenway.
That pesky pole's in trouble.
The Cardinals like their catchers. Molina's gone, so they bring in Contreras.
Thought it was a good move for them, actually, on that one.
Yep.
They like having that strong catcher back there, so.
They've always had it.
Kershaw stays with the Dodgers 1 year, $20 million.
That's a steal, too, to me, because Verlander got 40.
Zach Eflin goes to Tampa Bay.
You know what? He'll be fine there with everybody else that goes one inning.
The only other two that I had on here, we mentioned Jameson Taillon, 4 for $68 million with the Cubs. And Andrew Heaney Stein's 2 for $25 million with Texas. And that's all I got on my side. Guys, anything else?
Brian Cashman signed 4 years for the Yanks, much to my chagrin. He'll be there for life. They're going to embalm him. They're going to put him there. They're going to leave his freaking corpse there 100 years from now. He'll be the GM. I don't think he's going anywhere. The other thing that happened this week was McGriff was nominated to the Hall of Fame. And actually, I always thought of Fred McGriff as a Hall of Fame caliber player, so I didn't have a problem with that. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
Yep. That was the contemporary era ballot.
He got a unanimous vote, 16 he out did. Of 16. Yeah. Nobody else was over, like, what, 6 or 7? You know, I mean, you know, and the Royd guys didn't move anywhere. McGriff was too skinny to be a Royd guy.
I mean, you got the two players on that list that, boy, they didn't – well, one was injury, one was just fell off the cliff, was Mattingly and Dale Murphy. Look at Murphy's numbers his first 6-7 years. Back-to-back MVPs, and then he just fell off the cliff.
He was Mattingly.
Yeah.
Mattingly was the best player in baseball for 6 years.
Yeah.
The flat-out best. You couldn't get him out. You're driving in 140 runs a year. Setting records with homers consecutive days, even though he wasn't a pop hitter. I mean, you know, and Murphy had the two amazing years. Then he tried to catch the Negro's knuckleball in spring training. He broke his elbow. He was never the same player. It's like, my God, never play with the Negroes. Never play with the Negroes. You can only get hurt. Gaylord Perry passed away as well. The spitball.
Gaylord Perry, yes.
Any other baseball points before we move on, guys?
It was fun just looking at Gaylord Perry's stats, you know, when you start looking and how this game has changed. He was completing 35 games a year.
Absolutely. You don't throw harder than 68 miles an hour, Kev. Your arm can go forever.
Jake, and I'm not trying to badmouth him. I was just doing a comparison. Jacob DeGrom has 4 complete games.
You're right.
Gaylord Perry would do that in a week.
Look at Kershaw doesn't pitch complete games anymore. I mean, that's just the way it works, but you're right.
Yeah, it's amazing how the game is. I'm just using that as an example of how the game was changed.
Absolutely.
Not bashing DeGrom.
No, and listen, I understand Mets fans that do because he didn't take the ball the last couple of years. I get it. I do get it. Anyway, G, before I keep going on my DeGrom tirade that you hate, I'll let you move on.
So let's go to NFL. So week 13's over.
It was horrible.
Locally, it was not a good week.
It was horrible.
Let's talk about the Jets. Minnesota wins 27-22. Minnesota goes to 10-2. The Jets go to 7-5. Mike White was good. Threw for 369 yards. Had 2 interceptions. Minnesota got touchdowns from Cook and Mattson on the ground. Jefferson through the air. The Jets... They had more passing yards than them.
That came about 200 yards. They dominated them.
They were only outrushed by 8 yards, 120 to 128. They had 486 yards to Minnesota's 287. They played a really good game. Kev, talk to me about the Jets.
Red zone. Vikings, 3 red zone trips, 3 touchdowns. Jets, 6 red zone trips, 1 touchdown.
There's and it had game. To be reviewed, Kev. We had and a big for it.
White's 2 picks. The first one was the deflection of the receiver. The second one was a 4th down play. You're trying to force something in there. I didn't have a problem with either pick. It's not like he was throwing them into double coverage and, you know, making stupid passes. White gives his team a little different feel right now than Zach does. The problem is, it's funny. If you told me before the season, the Jets would have gone down or gone up over to Minnesota and played a hell of a game and had a chance to win, I may have been okay preseason with that. But when they are showing what they've done this year with a 7-4 record going in, boy, your expectations change. And that's a game that we really, really, really wanted. That would have set them up so nicely to really contend for the division title.
They just look different with White at quarterback.
Yeah, you know, he finds a receiver. He knows where he wants to go with the ball. And he's willing to say, all right, the guy downfield, my first option, 15 yards down the field is not open. I'll take the dump off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even saying good or bad compared to Wilson. They just look like a different team with him at quarterback. Dan, what do you think?
Well, it's really disappointing game to watch because they were the better team. Defense came out flat, be perfectly honest. Defense did not tackle well in the first half, and it showed. The running game, you know, Zonovan Knight looks like he runs hard. You know, I like him. I like him a lot. I don't need to see James Robinson anymore. We have this kid with no reason to give up the extra draft pick, you know, for him getting to his 1,000 yards. No reason to do it. Let Knight play. Don't let the kid play. Ty Johnson comes in behind him when Carter comes back, and we just worry about those three, and that's it, and let Robinson cry on the bench. Held Jefferson in check, except for the one touchdown. Was it 7 for 45? But in the first half, the defense was a little soft, and they were giving him those underneath completions on 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, which were just easy passes. Cousins wasn't great, but that was because the pressure was getting to him. He was getting rid of it quick. Jets should have had more sacks. Thing that stood out to me a little bit is we still struggle running short yardage. We need a dominant center. Enough of this McGovern crap. He just doesn't do it for me. He just doesn't. Getting Fant back, I know he made that penalty, which was dumb as hell because we were inside the 5. And they can talk all about Berrios running one way or the other. And stop. His back's in front of you. You ran into him, and you pushed him. You know what the rule is. It's just silly. I know that he may have been put in a bad position. Let him tackle him at the 5. We'll live with it. There doesn't have to be a push in the back. Just so many – Wilson steps out of bounds on a play that we think we have a touchdown. I mean, there's all these little things that just didn't go right. And I'd like – and as much as I like White, I mean – and I do. I mean, he's playing real well, and he gets rid of the ball quick, and he doesn't just throw it away, but he tries to make a play with his eyes downfield, and I like it. Every now and then, you have to use your legs a little bit to get 4 or 5 yards rather than always making it 2nd and 10 if we miss, or 3rd and 10. It could be 2nd and 6 or 2nd and 4, and it's the whole difference of what the next play call is, and that's where I think he comes up short. Defense was great in the second half. I was hoping we get that safety at the 1-yard line. We were not quite close, but it wasn't that far off.
Yeah.
I just needed to see them come out in the first half with better tackling and not letting things, you're not letting Cook and Madison get those long runs, really. And the key play, the key drive of the game was when the Vikings scored in the early fourth quarter. And the Jets had dominated the second half and were outscored them 9-0. That was it, 3 field goals. And all of a sudden, the Vikings come down and score. And despite the fact that the Jets had done everything correctly, they were only up 9-7 in the second half, going into halftime down 20-6. And you're saying to yourself, we can't be just up 9-7 in a half that we're dominating because we're kicking field goals, and they got the one drive. And that drive, and they look good in that drive. And that was all we could do. G?
So you're 7-5. You're the 7th seed right now.
We played Buffalo this week in Buffalo.
I'll ask the 2 Jet fans. You guys are both Jet fans, okay? So forget about last week's game, okay? It's done. It's gone. You're 7-5. Doesn't matter how you got your seven wins out of 12 games, but you're 7-5. Are you happy with where you are at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't expect to be 7-5. Usually Kev answers first, so I jumped in because he didn't answer. But yeah, I mean, listen, am I happy? Yeah, do I? But now that, like Kev said before, there's expectations now. We're a better team than the team we lost to this week, and that's happened a couple times this year. And I love the people that were screaming for Flacco, by the way, who had 2 great minutes the entire first freaking 3 games. He was awful against the Bengals. He was awful against the Ravens. We recovered the onside kick, and he led a great drive, and that was it. But, I mean, White's the guy. I'm happy with where we are, considering we had to start Flacco the first 3 games. Kev?
Kev, are you happy?
I'm happy, yes. Okay. Never thought we'd be 7-5 and in the playoffs right now.
Okay.
The defense improved so much more than I thought they would in 1 year. The only thing that we've got is that all during the first half of the season, oh, wait till you get the second half. That's the soft part of the schedule. Well, so you look at what's left at Buffalo, home for Detroit, which I know we'll talk about in a minute here. But boy, that offense is really clicking right now. Now, if you get to Jared Goff, you know, Jared Goff can have a Jared Goff game. But if he's playing competent, that's a scary offense. Jacksonville, okay, that's maybe the one that hopefully have more of the cakewalk. At Seattle, boy, you didn't expect Seattle to be this good this year. And just our luck, we run into Geno Smith. And then you finish up at Miami. That's still a very tough schedule to finish up.
We got to go 3-2 to make the playoffs. We got to finish 10-7. If we get 10-7, we'll make the playoffs. listen, there's not going to be a lot expected of us of the playoffs. The Jacksonville and Detroit games you have to win. I know Detroit's better, Kev. I agree with you. We have to win those two games.
It's scary than when you first looked at the schedule.
Well, Jacksonville, no, in the beginning of the year, we thought Jacksonville might be better and Detroit was going to be awful. So just have them reversed now. We should win both games. And at Seattle's a game now that you really must win.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. You got to win the middle three. If we steal one in Buffalo, that'd be great. I can't imagine it happening, but I hope. And then, you know, at Miami in the last game of the season, who knows? Who knows what happens there? So we'll see.
Okay. The other New York football team, the Giants and the Commanders, tied 2020.
You got lucky, G.
Wow.
Giants are 7-4-1. Commanders 7-5-1. Washington in their last four is 3-0-1. Listen, you may say I got lucky, but Washington had more yards. They had 411 yards, 316 yards. Heineke was good. He threw for 275 and two. But you're right. And go ahead, Darren.
Well, here's the refs. The 15-yard taunting penalty was kind of huge on Feliciano. Because he flagged. He might have said something too. We're not there. So maybe he earned it. It seemed like, wow, really weird time to call that 15-yarder. And the other one was, the Commander defense was clearly offside on the third down play. They don't whistle it. Gano has to kick from 57 and he's short. I'm just saying those 5 yards probably make that field goal a little easier. Yeah. Only reason why I think it's lucky. The Giants jumped out 10 zip and you're saying, uh-oh. And the Commanders storm back. Commanders jumped out 10 zip. Giants storm back, take the lead. And all of a sudden the Commanders because of the Heineke magic, and let's be honest, the kid does make things happen. He's not great, but he's fun. He's just fun. You want him to be your quarterback. He's fun. He's not good, but he's fun. He leads them back down the field. They score with less than 2 minutes to go. And you know, that's on the Giant D. That's going to be your strength of the team. And they let him go down and score and tie that game up at 20. Now, you got to remember, guys, I'm mostly on the Jet game. So I'm flipping back very infrequently to the Giants because I'm all on the Jets, and the Jet game is exciting. It's a lot of plays inside the five, and moving, and you know it's really hard to flip off. So I might have missed stuff that you caught, G. But I thought that that drive to get him to tie it up late like that from Heineke was great. The Giants, the thing about their offense, and we say it every single week, if you can control Barkley, Daniel Jones is not going to beat you unless you're a horrible team. And Washington's D is good. And you know, now what you've done, if you're a Giant fan, and you're a Commander fan, I know, G, but if you're a Giant fan, is that you've made the next matchup against Washington crucial. Now you have to win in their place. Otherwise, they have the edge on you in all tiebreakers. Seattle may fall off. I mean, they could very easily. Or Seattle could play better than we expect down the stretch. Schedule's a little harder on Seattle than we remember. The Jets is not an easy game for them anymore like they thought it was in the beginning of the year. They still have to go to Kansas City. They still have some tough games. Or do they host Kansas? I don't remember. I think they go to Kansas City. So they have a couple of tough games. But if it's the Giants could fall behind Washington relatively easy because now they have to go to Washington and try to beat them, and that's going to be a tough task.
I agree with you. I will tell you this, though. The same question I asked you guys, I'm going to ask myself, which is, you're a Commander fan. You're 7-5-1 at this point. You are, at the moment, because of the tie break, the 8 seed, not the 7 seed. So you are technically not in the playoffs at the moment. But if you gave me this at the beginning of the year, I got to tell you I'm happy. And listen, we're the fourth team right now in the NFC East. And if the tie break breaks correctly, I'm in the playoffs. I mean, I'm happy the same way you guys are happy at 7-5. I'm 7-5-1, and I'm happy also. Kev, what do you think of that game?
The game that just happened?
Yep.
Yeah.
I watched a Jet game.
Okay.
I flipped back and forth. I caught the last little bit of overtime. I saw Cano's could come up short, but I'll be honest, I was glued to the Jet game.
Okay.
But we do get a chance to watch the rematch in prime time. NBC thought enough of this and they flexed to this game.
And yep. It was a smart move.
They got rid of the Patriots Raiders. They didn't want to see Josh McDaniels back at Foxborough.
Oh God. And Rangers don't play better, by the way, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah. Thing with the Giants is they still have two games with Philly also.
Yep.
Maybe four and one, though. If you're the Giants, you're probably relatively happy from the beginning of the year. You're a little disappointed right now, but probably happy in the beginning of the year for where you are.
Yep. So this week, you know, I think, is a tougher Philly game. Week 18, Philly should have everything locked up.
I'd be stunned if they don't.
You know, you'd be stunned if they play Hurts or any of the big guys. Giants could catch a break there.
It's going to come down to the second Dallas game. If Dallas beats them and they need it, they have one. That's really what it comes down to. But that means Dallas runs the table and the whole thing. I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm just saying that's what it's going to come down to, because Dallas still has Washington. I mean, you know, there are tough games on the Dallas schedule too. But Dallas, if Dallas beats Philly, that week 18 game means something. If they don't, or Dallas slips up anywhere, you're right. Philly may not play Hurts.
All right, let's talk about some of the other games. We'll go right to Philly. They move to 11-1, 35-10 win over Tennessee. Tennessee goes to 7-5.
One quick point, Jake.
Go ahead.
They traded the AJ Brown gets traded, and it goes off. So on Tuesday, they fire the GM for a team that right now is in the playoffs. Because they're like, we have no one that can catch the ball for Tannehill. You let Corey Davis go the week year earlier, and Corey Davis can't catch with his hands. He only catches with his body. So two balls every week bounce off his shoulder pads for someone to pick. But Brown's really good, and they fire. You gotta think that there has to be some reason why he got fired. It's not just that, but it had to be a little strawberry or cherry on top of the sundae, so to speak.
Yeah.
What? Sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. Philadelphia held Derrick Henry in Tennessee to 87 yards rushing. Jalen Hurts continues his MVP ride, 380 yards and three touchdowns in the air, a running touchdown. Philadelphia just moves way ahead. Let's move to some other games. Buffalo beats New England 24-10. Buffalo moves to 9-3. The big news from that game was the injury to Von Miller, which today came out. It's a torn ACL. He's done for the year. Buffalo, with the win and some other things going on, is now the number one seed in the AFC at the moment. Anything on that game, guys?
It wasn't really that close a game. Buffalo was much better.
Cleveland beat Houston 27-14. Only thing really coming out of that game is Deshaun he looks sloppy. He looked rusty. It's probably going to be another couple of games before we see anything good come out of Deshaun. Kev?
Yeah, first game back in 2 years. So you expect the rust. Boy, if you had the Cleveland defense special teams, you were happy.
Three touchdowns.
And the trifecta, a punt return, an interception return, and a fumble return.
Oh, that Texans offense looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore gets a 10-9 win against Denver. They move to 8-4, but Lamar Jackson goes down. It's a knee injury in the first quarter. He's week to week. We're going to see if that has any effect on their playoff picture for them as we move down the stretch.
As a Jet fan, I'm excited that he's out for maybe probably 3 weeks, because you figure Cincinnati will keep moving forward and maybe Baltimore falls back. That's the, you know, you just want as many teams in that, in the same record or below yours as you can. They have the advantage on us. We have to beat them by a game.
I was going to say, hate with Cincy and Baltimore in the mix there.
Yep.
Because we lost to both.
Exactly. Boy, that Broncos, only one of them can be have a better record than us. That's what we need.
Speaking of Cincy.
Yeah, they beat the Chiefs.
Denver, feel bad for that defense.
They're the best defense in the league by points allowed.
Week after week, they give up 13 and lose.
They have a good secondary. The front seven plays really hard, but they're exhausted because they're on the field the whole freaking game. Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, listen, Huntley had a nice drive at the end. Not going to take it away from him, but that poor defense the offense just is horrible.
Denver is the opposite of Detroit. We should put Detroit's offense with Denver's defense and see what we can do.
It still has Jared Goff, but it would be a Super Bowl contender.
Cincinnati wins 27-24. They beat Kansas City. Cincy moves to 8-4. The Chiefs to 9-3. Burrow was really good. had 286 and two. He ran for a touchdown with 46 yards. Cincinnati, 431 yards to Kansas City's 349. They're one of the few teams right now, it looks like, they can keep up with Kansas City. Darren?
They beat them three in a row, so they certainly can keep up with them. The thing about Burrow and Josh Allen is when they see the Chief uniform, they don't make any mistakes. They just play great. That's the one thing the Chiefs have to deal with a little bit more than other teams. Everybody gives you their best performance that they play. You know, they always have to come out because every quarterback that's worth his salt knows he has to duel with Mahomes, and they have to do something special. And even with that, and the Chiefs didn't play great, if Kelce doesn't fumble the ball, the Chiefs have a real shot of winning that game. You know, I mean, it came down to that. The Chief pass rush is still somewhat invisible. No matter what they try to do, they blitz, they can't get home. The rookie corners played well, but not great. Hard to cover Jamar Chase and Higgins one-on-one. They did about as good as you're going to do. But, you know, excuse me. But the Spagnuolo leaves them on an island a lot. And, you know, the Chiefs also sloppy tackling. I thought that they missed a lot of tackles, a lot of opportunities to hold them short of first downs. As far as the Bengals go, again, Burrow looked great. I mean, when he's on, he looks amazing. He can run. Quarterback design runs that you don't see against other teams. He does it right there against the Chiefs. He looks very, very poised. Jamar Chase being back is the difference. I mean, you know, you can't cover him, you know, and then Higgins is a stud and Hurst went down. If Hurst would have stayed healthy in that game, I think they would have even had a little bit more damage against the Chiefs. So the Bengals are definitely a worthy team that has a shot to repeat. They're going to play the Bills on Monday night in a couple of weeks. That's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah.
San Francisco beats Miami 33-17. Both teams now at 8-4. And the big news out of that game was Jimmy Garoppolo with a broken foot. Brock Purdy came in, threw for 210 yards with two touchdowns and an interception. The San Francisco defense held Miami to just 33 yards rushing, 308 yards total. They got the win, but at what cost, Kev?
Hey, Miami, you play a third-string quarterback. How come you didn't win? That's all you heard coming out of the Dolphin game. Oh, you beat us because we were down to our third-string quarterback. Well, you played a fucking third-string quarterback and couldn't win, so shut up.
And Jet fans, if you watched Breece Hall at all, you'll know who Brock Purdy is because he was the guy handing in the ball last year. Iowa State's pretty good, and I saw him play a few times. I didn't think he was going to be that poised without probably ever taking a snap as a with the first team offense. He actually looked pretty good. He looked better than I expected him to look for the last player in the draft, the Mr. Irrelevant little moniker that you get. The thing about this team is McCaffrey's such a weapon, and Ayuk is a good player, and Kittle, you know, is almost forgotten about as the fourth option because Samuel gets every Debo Samuel gets everything. The Gamecock, exactly. I looked at Gino and I was thinking, no, the Samuel on Washington. No, it's the same last name. But it's, you know, there's just so many weapons on this team. And Garoppolo might be back now, they're saying. They're saying that he doesn't need surgery. So who knows if it's playoffs or whatever. It'll be interesting to see about Brock Purdy if he can kind of keep this thing going. I was really impressed with the way they gave up a 75-yard touchdown on the first play of the game to Sherwood, to the third receiver. It was Sherwood, I think it is, or something like that. But after that, you know, they really held him in check. Miami didn't do anything. And like I said, we hadn't seen Tua under pressure. So we saw him under pressure in that game, and you saw the difference. I mean, Hill still had a monster game. Waddle had one catch. And you know, and that was Sherfield, not Sherwood, by the way. But San Francisco's for real. They're the best team in the NFC. I'm sorry if you watch. I think they're better than Philly if the quarterback's able to play. I think they're that talented. Just my take. I know Gino loves that Philly team.
Okay. Elsewhere around the league, Green Bay beat Chicago. They're at 5 wins. Detroit beat Jacksonville. They're at 5 wins.
Kev's got a point.
I love this trivia stuff. Green Bay now has the most wins by any franchise in NFL history. They moved past the Bears. The Bears held the record since 1921. The Buffalo All-Americans won their 18th franchise game in 1921. The Bears passed them that year and have held the record for most wins by an NFL franchise since 1921 until now. Just one of those. I love shit like that.
And they've won one Super Bowl. Anyway, we move on. Same as the Jets. Anyway, we move on.
Pittsburgh beat Atlanta 19-15. Both teams had 5 wins. Seattle beat the Rams 27-23. Seattle
closer than it should have been, Chief. Closer than it should have been.
Yep.
It took a game winner with 36 seconds left.
Yeah, the Rams played their hearts out. No Aaron Donald, no quarterback, no Cup. They went out and signed Baker Mayfield, by the way. I don't know if anybody caught that.
Yep.
I didn't expect him to go there. Whatever. I would have thought Houston, by the way. Why not put the waiver claim in on him? But you really want to see what Davis Mills has? You've seen it already. See what Mayfield. Maybe you get a diamond in the rough. He was a former first pick of the draft. Then you let him fall all the way. Not all the way, but you let him fall to the Rams. Why wouldn't you take a shot at him? You're looking at two guys that suck. Anyway, just one take. Unless they're tanking for somebody.
Elsewhere, the Raiders won their third in a row. They beat the Chargers 27-20.
Josh Jacobs, baby. And Devontae Adams.
Jacobs was 26 for 144 and a touchdown. Carr threw for 250 and 2. Devontae Adams had 8 catches for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Chargers just can't seem to win these games.
They can't beat the Raiders. They struggle with the Raiders.
Seems like they struggle with anybody once the game gets close. I don't know.
Well, they're going to have another one this week with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I hope they don't fall apart this week.
Who do you root for this week?
I root for the Chargers. I can't ever root for the Dolphins. I don't root for the Dolphins against the Bills. And against the Patriots, I root for injuries and a tie.
So recapping the last two games from last Sunday, Dallas beat Indianapolis 54-19.
Game was 24-19.
Yeah. The game wasn't that bad until the fourth quarter when Dallas scored 33 points. They had 3 interceptions, a fumble return for a touchdown. They ran for 4 touchdowns. It was just crazy. And then Monday,
Tom Brady.
Tampa Bay beats New Orleans 17-16. Brady had 2 late touchdowns. Tampa Bay.
Tom Brady's successes, and I look at Kevin's face. The fact that I can see your face while we go through this is my favorite thing. I'm sorry, G. I don't mean to cut you off, but I've been waiting for this moment since Tuesday morning because I didn't watch it. I went to bed. It was 13-3 when I went to bed. But I look at the highlights. I'm like, oh my God, Kevin's gonna love this on Wednesday.
Two touchdowns in the last 3 minutes of the game. Tampa Bay moves to 6-6. So, Kev?
Saints decide to say, we'll give you the 8 to 10 yards every play. And Tommy Brady says, oh, thank you very much. And marches them methodically down the field, just dinks and dunks his way down. And
the Saints are the better team. That's the sad part. The Saints are the better team.
We see it how many times. You play one defense for 3 quarters, then you go to this shell, and it just doesn't work.
No, and people should be smarter than that.
And Tom Brady, we've seen him this year. He can't throw the ball deep. He does not have the deep ball anymore.
No, he's missing. He's missing.
He's missing. So all his stuff is underneath. He's never liked pressure. Pressure him. Don't give him time.
I agree.
I'm done.
Yeah, I know you're done.
I couldn't wait. I figured, gee, why gotta have you go through the stats when I can have Kevin whine about it for a few minutes?
Week 14 coming up. 6 teams on the bye. Couple of
by the way, point of this, the NFL is the stupidest league in the world. How in this week of the season, when college football's over, do you have 6 teams on a freaking bye and not even a complete Sunday here in December? That's horrible. That's pathetic. There's no reason for it. It's the stupidest thing you could possibly imagine. You own the entire sports landscape. There's the Army-Navy game on Saturday. Outside of that, there's not another football thing unless you're watching FCS. And if you like FCS, great. I'm not trying to put it down. It's fun when I get into the semifinals and finals. But you got to be kidding me to have 6 teams on a bye this week, week 14. Sorry. Go ahead, Kevin. Okay.
Two biggest games on the schedule are probably both involving the New York teams. Jets are at Buffalo. Giants home for Philly. My other game that I want to see what happens with is Jacksonville at Tennessee. I want to see if Tennessee can actually turn around and run the ball on a bad team. They haven't been able to run the ball on a good team in a couple of weeks.
Chargers-Dolphins is a game, G.
Chargers-Dolphins is a game if the Chargers decide they want to play.
And Vikings-Lions should be an interesting game.
Lions are a favorite.
Yeah.
Lions are the favorite right now, so that's an interesting game too. And the Chiefs-Broncos is also a game a little bit.
Okay, first off, if the Lions are going to give up 40 points a game, I don't want to see them. I know you guys are going to tell me about the Lions. To me, that's not even a must-watch on this week's schedule. Yes, they're going to score 34 and they're going to give up 42. I can't see.
You know why it's a must-watch, Gino? Because if the Vikings win, they clinch the division. And if they don't, then the division's okay. Gone. Only right. Reason. I agree with you. It's not a compelling game. The Vikings showed me nothing. Vikings beat the Bills. They showed nothing in that game and won. Bills fumbled the ball in their own end zone. So, I mean, the Vikings have gotten a couple gifts at least.
If you're in New York and you don't have the dish, you're not watching that game anyway.
No.
You got both teams at 1 o'clock.
Exactly. Again. And then the 4 o'clock game is the Bucs.
Oh, great.
I'm just saying.
49ers, home.
49ers and Bucs. And listen, it's a big game. Yeah. You know, it really is for both teams.
Yep.
Brock Purdy and Tom Brady.
And that does it for me for the NFL. Darren?
College.
Let's talk about some college football from last week.
We have a long show today, so I'm sorry if we were going off here. But
there were a couple of big games last week, I think, huh?
Listen, we're going to start off with Friday because why not? Utah crushed USC. I thought USC would get revenge on them. And they should have won the opener game against them. They were up early by 2 touchdowns multiple times. USC jumped out 14-3 in this game. Utah then turned it around and never looked back. You know, this was really not much of a game. Obviously knocked them out of the playoff. But 47-24 is like, wow. You know, it's like it didn't just handle them. They handled them easily. I was really – really impressed with the way Utah came out. Back-to-back years that they're the champion of the Pac-12. Kev, any points on that? Or
yeah, we've talked about it a few times. It's no secret USC's defense is not good. The two running backs, Jackson and Bernard, combined for 193 and 3 touchdowns rushing. And in the first half, when USC had the big lead, Williams had that big 59-yard run, but seemed to maybe hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, he did. He got banged up a little bit.
And he
played like a warrior, though. He did play hard. He was throughout.
Yeah, he wasn't the same, but, you know, on a bad hamstring, he still threw for 363 and 3 touchdowns.
He's the best quarterback in college right now, and he'll win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah,
that was the game that none of us got right last week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
K-State TCU. We'll go to the next one. This was probably the game of the weekend in a lot of ways. Here's the thing, okay, K-State kind of jumped on him. TCU had a battle back. You know, Duggan played like a warrior. They showed all the cuts on him. He looked like they're putting, like, you know, stuff that obviously stings to try to cut the bleeding. He's running all over the place. They get to overtime. They get inside the one, right? Good call by the official. He was short by about a quarter of a yard, half a yard, whatever. Maybe could have moved it up another 6 inches, but who cares? So you get third down and fourth down. Each time they hand it to a guy at the 5. What the hell? The quarterback's been running all day. Why they don't just go with Duggan with a fullback behind him and just push him like everybody else does to get the touchdown? Instead, they basically handed the game to K-State, who did not deserve to win. They certainly played well enough to win the game. But K-State 31-28, I was really hoping that the committee would not knock TCU out because of that loss, and they did not. I thought that they deserved to be in to the playoff. Kev,
that game tying touchdown drive,
Duggan.
Duggan runs, and they had an offensive pass interference in there, which knocked him back 15 yards also. But he had runs of 15, 13, 19, 40, and 8. 95 yards rushing by Duggan on that last drive.
He did everything you possibly could. And, you know, it was just disappointing. The play calling, I'm not going to crush, you know, the heart of the team. And I know Miller's a physical back. I get the whole thing. But you know what? you're less than a yard away. You know, you just sneak it. I didn't understand the play calling. Just sneak it. I would have sneaked it twice.
It's as bad as watching the Jets in the goal line.
God, I could not understand it. It was kind of shocking that happened. The one thing we skipped on the Jet game, by the way, is Berrios can't drop that touchdown. Anyway, I'll get to that at another point. He can't drop. I know the ball's slightly behind him. You got to catch that. Georgia exploded offensively. LSU, you know, they put up 30 on Georgia, but the game was never really that close. Georgia was the much better team.
It was 35-10 at halftime.
Yeah, the under-over was 52 in this game. They had 45 at the break.
Yeah. Georgia came out, dominated the first half. The second half, Georgia let LSU have their yards.
It was not much of a game. I didn't think it would be much of a game. Yeah. You know, so not surprised by that. I'm just going to touch on this one because it's a New Year's Six ball, but Tulane really handled UCF, always led by about 10. Never really got too close. Tulane's had a great year, including a win at Kansas State, just to tell you that they are beating some power teams because Kansas State finishes the year also in a New Year's Six bowl too. So, you know, so it just tells you how good Tulane is. UCF is not a bad program. Tulane just kind of controlled them. I think they won by 17.
They're both top 25.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a good matchup.
It was a pretty good game. I mean, Tulane's kind of an exciting team to watch a little bit. Clemson and Fresno State just rolled in their games. And, they won easily. Yeah.
The only interesting thing out of the Clemson game was Uiagalelei.
Yeah.
Can't never say that name. He was bad. He was 2 for 5 for 10 yards. Dabo went to Cade Klubnik, and I guess that's permanent because Uiagalelei has entered the transfer protocol.
He hasn't been good all year. No, I agree with you. He hasn't been good all year, and that's really what's held Clemson back. The running backs have been fine. The receivers can't get the ball.
They would have beaten South Carolina if they had any quarterback play.
And I don't want to take anything away from South Carolina. They played who they were up against, and they did a great job. But you're right. I mean, they might have went undefeated if they had any quarterback play because they have enough talent on that team. North Carolina fell apart. They lost 3 in a row after they clinched it. You know, at Fresno State, you know, everybody likes to talk about them starting off 1-4, you know. You know, one of those games was at Oregon State. One of those games was at USC. You know, they're playing the out-of-conference things. They're a little tough. They lost up at Boise, and they got blown out of Boise first time by 20. So they're playing at Boise in this game, and they really kind of controlled the game. Boise State never really was much of a factor in this game. The Clemson and Fresno State just rolled. Michigan pulled away from Purdue. Purdue gave them a game. For what Purdue is, they gave him a game, and they made you think about, is Michigan really that good for a little while?
It was 14-13 at halftime. Yep. It's like betting that 50-1 shot that has a lead at the quarter pole.
All you want your horse to do is be in the race.
Yeah.
I saw his number up on the screen in the top 4 at one point. I'm happy.
Yep.
Michigan's defense kind of clamped down toward the end. Purdue had a throw. You know, they get a was it O'Donnell or McDonald? I'm forgetting. I think it's O'Donnell, right? Something like that, the quarterback for Purdue.
I don't remember.
I can't remember, right? But, I mean, he was throwing the ball around a little bit. I mean, he did everything he could. He tried to keep him in the game. Michigan was just much better. But anyway, we go through those games, right, and we get to the playoff.
Yes. I will just mention the other two just because haven't mentioned it all. Conference USA, UT San Antonio, 48, North Texas, 27.
Yeah, it was never much of a game. But San Antonio's been a really good team all year.
And the Sun Belt, Troy, 45, Coastal Carolina, 26.
Can't tell you I watched one play of that, so I don't know.
And the MAC, Toledo beat Ohio, 17-7 in the thriller.
You know what? The funny thing is Ohio had the better record. Toledo was the better team all year. Toledo was the favorite going in. I bet Toledo, to be honest with you, and I was happy that they won by 10 because I was only laying 3.5.
And just mention them. I forget which one of the bowl games. I think it's UTSA Troy.
Yeah, it's a good matchup.
Bowl game. So just because they're going to be playing, figure we mention them.
Exactly. G?
Just to give you guys a little update. So through 40 games that we picked spreads on for the college, Darren hit 16, Kevin hit 17, I hit 21. Not great numbers by any standards, but just so that we have a little update as we go forward.
And I think we are going to pick every bowl game.
Yeah, we're going to. Absolutely.
We will. I think we're going to do the same thing as we did in the World Cup. The morning of the game, we will definitely post our picks. for those
games. And then we'll do with the preview show for the big for the six.
Yep.
Actually, all the games that are played at that little stretch. But yeah, yep. But absolutely. But we'll really focus on the big six. So the playoff guys, did they get it right?
I know you don't like number four. I think they got it right.
I think Alabama was the better team than Ohio State. I'm happy that Saban's not in there. Don't get me wrong. Ohio State losing by 22 at home to Michigan compared to Alabama losing two games on the last play of the game. I just think Alabama's the better squad. Georgia versus Ohio State is a hell of a matchup. Georgia versus Alabama would have been a hell of a matchup. I actually thought that Alabama should have gotten in there. G, any thoughts?
I think Ohio State is probably the right call, but I could see it your way also. I mean, Alabama was that good. Both teams had problems at different times, but Ohio State gets the nod. So,
I mean,
USC gets hurt playing the extra game.
They do. They got well. You know what? They lost twice to Utah, but you lose by 23. It's that same thing. You get blown out. And the blowout probably is what has the bad taste in my mouth about Ohio State. But you know who gets punished most is Georgia. Because Georgia has to play Ohio State. They would much rather play Michigan or TCU in this matchup.
No doubt.
And, you know, we have time and we'll discuss who we like in those matchups down the line. But just curious. I know you guys looked at the bowls a little bit. Was there any games that stood out to you that you're looking forward to?
I got three.
He's got a couple.
Yep, and I know I'm going to be a little bit biased here. We call it the Weepy Clemson Gator Bowl between Notre Dame and North Carolina. Kevin
Junior or whatever.
that was lined by a junior. Interesting part of this game is going to be who plays quarterback for Notre Dame. Drew Pine, who started the last 10 games or so, also entered the transfer portal. So the question is, do they go back to Tyler Buchner, who started the week one? That's probably it.
I'm assuming.
And I didn't realize, I was looking at that depth chart. Third or fourth string, here's the name for you. Ron Paulus the third.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paulus is getting there. Wow. That's how old we are. We saw your dad play.
We are old enough to remember his dad playing, and was it Lee Corso or somebody else proclaiming that he was going to win two Heisman trophies at Notre Dame?
And then he lost to Northwestern the opening game of the season.
Yeah. And also Notre Dame, the tight end, Michael Mayer, also declared for the draft, and he's opting out of the game.
So and two big weapons. He's a top 10 pick, they're saying. So
two big weapons for Notre Dame missing for that game. So we'll see if South Carolina can keep the offense up that they've shown the last two games. The second game, the Shane Beamer is our daddy Orange Bowl. Tennessee and Clemson, last we saw those two teams, they were getting beat by South Carolina. And neither one are big fans of Shane Beamer. Those losses to South Carolina probably kept them out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Now, taking my bias out of the picture, the other game I'm looking forward to watching probably is the Alamo Bowl.
Me too. That's one of mine.
Texas and Washington. Texas only 8-4, but all four losses were by one score. They're playing real well now. Washington might have one of the most fun players to watch, Michael Penix Jr. He was the nation's leading passer. And what's nice to see is that he is returning for a senior season. That's about a 6-year in college.
He doesn't have the necessary size, but that doesn't seem to matter anymore. So
yep.
I'm looking forward to that game too, because of Texas's defense versus Washington's offense is always kind of fun to see. The other one, I mean, is kind of a bigger bowl that I'm looking forward to. Just I want to see how Alabama responds when not getting into the game. So I want to see how they play against Kansas State. I just think that'll be an interesting matchup. Just, again, Kansas State is that, you know, 3-star recruit team going up against the 5-star recruits of Alabama. You know, if Alabama decides to play and play hard, or how many people opt out of the game for Alabama will determine how well, how competitive that game is. But, I mean, there's a relatively good bowl schedule this year. So should be kind of fun and stuff that we'll definitely talk about. Gino, back to you. Oh, Kev's got one more point, of course.
Army Navy.
Carolina?
Army Navy.
Oh, that's right. Army Navy.
The 123rd meeting will take place at the Link this Saturday in Philly. Navy is actually favored by 2.5 in this game. The over under the robust 32.5.
4-7 versus 5-6. It's a thriller. Nobody going to the bowl, so it's their last game.
Navy leads 62-53 in seven ties. Navy won last year, but Army's won four of the last six after Navy dominated for 14 years straight. As is usual for these teams, Army's rushing offense is number two in the country. Navy was down a little bit this year. They were only number seven. Passing offenses, the Army was next to last. Navy was third to last. So both teams play the same offense. They both run the ball. They play the option.
It's a great matchup. It's two teams that are always fun to watch. You want your anthem to play second. You want to sit there, but these are kids that you want to respect, that are giving up the next 5 years of their life to represent us. It's a quick game generally. It's a fun game. It's competitive. They all leave their heart on the field, and these kids don't get a little bit of a break and get to take any coasters classes. They have to go out there and really do everything that every other cadet or midshipman has to do, plus go to football practice.
And like Darren said, if you want 2.5-hour game, there it is.
Yep, it's going to be nice and quick. But yeah, I always, I love going to West Point games. I love, the Army-Navy game every year. It's something I look forward to watching.
Yep.
Gino, back to you in the World Cup, my friend.
World Cup. So round of 16 is done. We saw the U.S. get eliminated last week to the Netherlands. They fought hard, but they just didn't have enough. A lot of the issues we talked about that plagued them were true again. They can't score off corners. They just don't have the strikers to put the ball in the net consistently. The round of 16, Kev was 4-4, Darren was 6-2, and I was 7-1 predicting games.
Well, you picked every favorite, Gino.
Nope. We saw two games go to penalty kicks. Croatia beat Japan on penalty kicks.
You still picked every favorite, Gino. It doesn't change the fact.
And Morocco beat Spain on penalty kicks.
I picked that game for penalties.
Only game you lost.
I had penalties in that game. Wrong team winning it.
Every favorite. Why did Gino bet every favorite?
It's not true.
Which underdog did you take? Go ahead. Tell me the underdog.
Croatia and Spain.
An underdog because they were the two? Get out of here.
Well, so what? All right. So how are you classifying
it? The odds had Spain favorite. You picked every favorite.
I didn't know we were going by your classifications. I'm sorry.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. That Spain and Morocco.
Classification.
You're picking the dog by going with Spain. La Roja.
I tried to mix it up a little bit.
So did I. I picked a couple other dogs. I picked three and I lost two of them.
Any comments on around the 16, guys? Any comments on the round of 16?
Yeah, just one real thing. The U.S. dominated, I thought, most of the play against the Netherlands. They controlled possession. They had more shots. They blew a lot of opportunities. First 2 minutes of the game, Pulisic had a shot. Gino, obviously you didn't watch the game if you're shaking your head. The U.S. controlled the ball. They actually had opportunities. What happened was all three goals were from a lapse. Tyler Adams did not hustle back and check his man on the first goal. Dest fell asleep on the second goal. And the third goal, Anthony Robinson didn't realize someone was behind him. They just executed better. But the United States statistically controlled the game. You can say what you want and shake your head all you want. The stats would tell you you're wrong. Of course you disagree, but you didn't watch the game then.
I did watch the game.
Well, you missed it then. You must have missed it. I'll lend you some glasses.
I'll tell you why I disagree.
Why? Because they scored 3-1? You're right.
Because the only way the U.S. thought they could win was to be pressuring the ball as much as possible. So that's why they controlled the ball more. That's why they did what they did to try to win that game. It had nothing to do with that they outplayed the Netherlands. They didn't. It just had to do with them trying to control as much as they could.
So you thought the Netherlands played a brilliant strategic game, and I missed it. Come on.
It had nothing to do with how.
Kev, be the tiebreaker.
I'm sure it's just like Morocco dominated Spain because they won.
Japan was even with who did they lose to on kicks, where Kev could have made the saves. I could have made the saves. Those are the worst penalty kicks I've ever seen in my life by Japan. No, I thought the United States held themselves up high. When they cut it to 2-1, you thought it was a game, and the Netherlands came right back and scored immediately after. I just thought that they had a couple of lapses. I thought the Netherlands did not miss any opportunities while the Americans missed every opportunity. I thought that was the difference.
And the U.S. needs to develop a striker up front there.
Yeah, they don't have a nine. I mean, everybody was saying this team was 2026 anyway. I get it. Turner actually played very well. He couldn't do anything on the three goals and kind of kept them in it for a little bit. I don't think he could do one thing on any of those goals. They were just buried on him. You know, Tyler Adams not running back. I was like, what is he doing? I thought it was McKinney at first.
This was one of the youngest teams in the World Cup.
Second youngest, yep.
So, you know, 2026 will be here in the Americas.
Absolutely. Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
Yep.
I don't disagree with you, Gino. I just don't think that they were outplayed in the game. I thought that they controlled possession. They just did not put the ball in the net. Pulisic had a chance in the first 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 20 seconds, that he missed the opportunity. When your superstar has it on his foot and he can't put it home, the game would have been completely different if we're up 1-0.
The only other interesting one to me was not so much that they won, but after benching Ronaldo,
they won big.
Porto goes out and puts up six, and his replacement scores a hat-trick. I guess Portugal really doesn't need Ronaldo.
The funny thing is that most of these games were not competitive. The two games that went to penalty kicks, the U.S. game was mildly competitive, not really competitive. Argentina, you know, they won 2-1, but there was never really a game. France rolled, England rolled, Brazil rolled, Portugal rolled. You know, I mean, it was just the two shootouts and Morocco, I got to give them credit. I mean, they certainly didn't control the ball at all against Spain. Where they had the ball, 18%, whatever it was. I don't even know.
They had it here at 23%.
Oh, 23 was it.
It was ridiculous.
But the thing was is that they play good defense and they're scrappy. So now they get to play Portugal. That was a matchup people would have wanted to see, Spain versus Portugal. The two countries are bordering. It would have been cool. Now you get Morocco against Portugal. They're not that far apart, but still.
And that goalie. And the penalties.
Oh, he was good. Actually, Spain took real shots, unlike the Japanese team.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was awful.
They were saved.
Nope, absolutely. So I guess, do we want to make our picks for the rest of the tournament or no? Let's go, Gino. Kick us off, buddy.
So first game you got Netherlands versus Argentina. I'm taking the Netherlands. I picked them from the beginning, so I'm going to continue, although I think this is a big challenge for them to try to get past Argentina.
Okay.
Are we all going to go?
Yep. Well, might as well go one game at a time. That's fine.
I'll take Argentina and Messi to get through this round. Darren?
Gino hates Messi.
I know.
I'm going to take the Dutch as well. One thing, though, of note, if Argentina gets through, 3 straight clean sheets against Brazil, not easy to do. Just so you know, if Argentina versus Brazil, Argentina's playing well. I think that the Dutch are going to get through. I don't know why. I just think they are. I think it's a close matchup. Two really good teams.
Second game is Croatia-Brazil. Mm-hmm. On that side of the bracket. I'm going Brazil. I don't think Croatia has enough to get past them. I like Croatia, but I just don't think they have enough to get past Brazil. Kev?
Brazil. Easy.
I'm thinking Brazil also. It's really hard to go against them. They're the best team in the world.
Other side of the bracket, you got England versus France. France, the defending champions. I'm taking France. Mbappe just looks so good right now. Maybe like 2-1. I think it's close, but I think France pulls ahead. Kev?
This is the game in the quarterfinals. Kane versus Mbappe. Oh, yeah, I have to go France. I have to go best player in the
game. Never wanted to pick England. He couldn't do it. He wanted to pick England. I can see it on his face. I want to
pick England. I've got to pick Mbappe. He's at another level right now. Darren?
For the Queen. I'm taking the English.
God save the
English
Queen.
English win this game on kicks for the Queen.
Wouldn't be surprised.
England on kicks.
And the last matchup is Morocco versus Portugal. I like the way Portugal came out and played. I'm taking Portugal.
I'm going for the upset. I'm going for Morocco. We're going to ride the Cinderella.
Last team to score this many goals was Spain. They scored 7 and they lost their next match. I think Portugal shot their load last round. I'm taking Morocco to win this game 1-0.
All right. Well, that takes care of the World Cup for now. After round of 8, if we're not back on the air by then. We will give you our games on Facebook, so you'll know who we like going into the next round if we're not on in time.
Real quick, what do you like?
What?
What do you like? Who's getting through?
Oh, we're doing the whole thing. Yeah. Okay.
Why not?
I'm taking the Netherlands
versus,
and I'm taking France to go back to the finals. I took the Netherlands from the start, so I'm going to stick with the Netherlands.
Kev,
I'm going to go heavy chalk here. I'm going to go Brazil, France, and Brazil winning it.
I'm going Netherlands, England. And I'm taking the queen. They're doing it for the queen. The English roll.
Nice.
English win 2-1. The Netherlands never wins the title. Always a bridesmaid. Three-time runner-up. I'm gonna go with the Brits. The Limeys roll.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else before we move to NFL picks?
Well, I just wanted to touch a little bit on college hoop if I could.
Yep.
Just as season's underway, conference play is getting going. A couple teams off to really great starts to keep an eye on. Purdue 8-0, really playing well. Texas 6-1. They were undefeated till last night. They lost to Illinois in an overtime game, but really good team. Virginia undefeated 8-0. Tony Bennett's got that team back after a couple of years of being good but not great. UConn 9-0, and they just won tonight, make it 10-0. They're the team to beat in the Big East right now. Alabama 7-1. These are teams that are really playing very well right now. Teams to watch, teams that are coming up. Iowa State 7-1. Two years ago, they won three games. Last year, they got back to the tournament. This year, they look really good. Mississippi State, Chris Jans, you might remember him from New Mexico State, came over to coach Mississippi State. They're 8-0 right now. They're playing real well. Kevin Willard goes down to Maryland. This team's 8-1. They were undefeated up till this weekend. Lost a tough game in Illinois, playing real well. Utah State, you know, Odom went over there from UMBC, has them 7-0 right now as a little bit of a mid-major, so to speak. And Va Tech now 9-1 after a win tonight. Just an interesting point on teams that are struggling. The net has 364 teams in it, 364 Division I teams. Louisville is 360.
Wow.
360 out of 364.
Wow.
You don't want to know where Manhattan is? I'm not going to tell you, Kevin. It'll just upset you.
Are they 364?
What? They're right there. I think they're one ahead of it. Cal is 340. You know, this is another team that's struggling. I mean, we're talking about against all low majors, anyone that's in Division I. According to this, Louisville's better than four teams in the country. Just know how brutal that is. Other teams struggling right now, Minnesota, Georgetown, and South Carolina are major teams that are really off to a bad start. Games of the weekend, five to pick out. One I'll do for tomorrow just because it's the Cy-Hawk game. It's the Cyclones against the Hawkeyes. Iowa-Iowa State, always a good rivalry. That game's at Iowa. Iowa State's 20th in the country. Washington goes to Gonzaga. It's a battle for supremacy in Washington. Gonzaga's not your big brother's Gonzaga. They're struggling this year a little bit. Alabama, number 8 in the country, plays at Houston, number 1 in the country. Just a game to watch on Saturday. Number 10, Arizona goes to 14, Indiana. And then on Sunday, number 7, Tennessee goes to number 13, Maryland. So there are some good matchups coming up before we really get deep into conference play. Two major upsets last week. Rutgers went in and at home and beat Indiana by 15 at home. Indiana was ranked 10th at the time. And Nebraska, Hoiberg's got them playing. They went into Creighton. They went on the road, won by 10 at Creighton, 63-53. So those are just some things to really watch.
Any thoughts on North Carolina? Preseason 1 and tumbled all the way out of the rankings now.
Well, they've lost 3 in a row, and a couple of the games they won. North Carolina wasn't in the rankings last year at all. They went into the tournament as an 8. You know, I mean, they, and there were some people saying they weren't going to be in the tournament 2 weeks going 2 weeks before the tournament started. They had to really have a great ACC tournament to get in, and they just went on an amazing run, but. The team is not consistent. They don't get consistent shooting. They have great athletes. They got Baycott down low that can rebound and score. But, North Carolina's going to be good but not great. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to be seeded somewhere between 6 and 10 again. Any other thoughts from you guys on this? All right, G.
All right, NFL. So I was 2 for 3. Darren was 2 for 3. Kev was 1 for 3 last week. I have 18 wins. Darren has 18 wins. Kevin has 16 wins out of 39. Kev, why don't you start us off with your NFL picks for week 14?
All right. I didn't like the games this week.
Me neither.
I've got three favorites. First game, Cincy at home -6 versus Cleveland. I think Watson still needs to shake off some more rust. I know Cleveland usually plays Cincinnati tough, but Cincinnati just seems like they're starting to click and really need the win to keep their momentum going. So I'll take Cincinnati -6. The second game, I've got the Seahawks -3.5 at home against the Panthers. Again, I think Seattle needs this game. Panthers have played better under Wilkes. They're winless at home, but they're still struggling a little bit on the road. It's a battle of ex-Jet quarterbacks, Darnold versus Geno. And I think Geno comes out on top. And the third game, I think this is going to be a blowout. So I'm going to lay the big 16.5. I'll take the Cowboys laying the 16.5 against the Texans. And those are my three picks.
All right. I actually agree with you on Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati this week against the Browns. I think last week really got them going, the big win over Kansas City. I'm taking Cincinnati -6. My second game is Tennessee. Tennessee -4.5 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this is the week that they get the running game going. They've been a little stymied with some good run defenses against them. This is not a good run defense, and I think they come out and they have a big game. I think Derrick Henry just lights it up this week. And my third game, I'm going to Kansas City. I think the Chiefs take care of business against the Broncos in Denver. I'm taking Kansas City -8.5. Darren, picks for week 14.
Well, I'm going against you both. I like Cleveland. Burrow has never beaten Cleveland, and I say it goes on. I think they're going to be a little spent after an emotional win last week. I think that they may not win it, but I think the Browns will keep this game very close. Their defense does give, Garrett gives Burrow fits. I'm going against you a second time, Gino. I like Denver plus the points. They always play the Chiefs tough, and it's just one of those things where the Chief defense does give up some big plays here and there. I think that Denver keeps it close. I hate doing that, but I'm going to take Denver. I had it 9.5. If it's 8.5, it's still 8.5. I'll still take it. And my third one, as opposed to Kevin, I went with three dogs as opposed to three favorites. I'm taking the Chargers +3.5 against the Dolphins. I think Herbert will kind of try to duel with Tua for a little while, maybe lose by a field goal, maybe lose by one, maybe lose on a Staley freaking stupid call. But I think that that the Chargers could even actually win this game. So I'm going to take the Browns, the Broncos, and the Chargers.
Okay, and I got a money line parlay for you guys. It's a four-teamer. It is Tennessee, Minnesota, Kansas City, and Miami. So it's against a couple of you guys. Those four teams put in together, Moneyline Parlay is +535. So it's a nice big one if you can hit it. We'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. And that's it for week 14 NFL picks.
Guys, real quick, because we didn't do it, and Paul always asked, you guys have your NHL top five this week or not really?
Sure.
All right. Kick us off then, G. Kick us off.
I got New Jersey at 1 and Boston at 2. I think that's pretty easy right now. I got the red hot Seattle Kraken at 3. I got Toronto at 4. And I got Tampa Bay, the Lightning, coming on strong at number 5.
Kev?
Wow. Real different than me. I've got New Jersey still 1. Boston finally lost at home in overtime, but broke their winless streak, but they're still number 2. Number 3, I'll take another hot team, the Maple Leafs. They're 9-0-3 in their last 12. And the 3 overtime losses were to the Devils, the Islanders, and Tampa. So they're playing really well. 4, I've got Vegas, the Golden Knights. And 5, I'll take Winnipeg. They're 7-3 in the last 10, and they've won 2 in a row.
Mine, the first 2 are the same for all of us. I got the Devils and the Bruins, 1-2. I got Vegas 3. I think Vegas still playing well. I put Seattle 4, and winners of 4 in a row, I put Carolina in the 5 spot. And listen, hockey, again, is always so tough because different number of games played, all that stuff, you know, different home schedules versus road. It's never really easy to know how they're doing at this point in the year. What I can tell you is there's a lot of teams bunched together near their playoff line right now. So we'll see what happens. Islanders still playing well, you know, so I know they lost last night, but they're still playing well overall. My Calgary Flames won again tonight, so they're trying to move up a little bit, but we'll see what happens. But overall, you know, I haven't gotten completely thrown into hockey yet, but we will. We will as football ends. We'll get ourselves more into hockey and talk more about it. You guys have any other points or anything? Kev, you got something?
Well, just in hockey, Ovechkin, 2 more goals tonight, 795 as he closes the
900. You know, it's so funny when you look at Gretzky's stats and what he did before the age of 25. And then now you look at guys that are accumulating just like, you know, to get to the numbers he used to have. The game was different then, don't get me wrong, but just amazing how great Gretzky really was.
Yeah.
The nickname was an understatement, so to speak. Anything else, G?
No, that's it. I'm good.
All right. Kev, all right. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. You know, Darren along with Kevin and Gino. Hope you guys enjoy the show. We enjoy doing it. Please like us on Facebook, make comments when we make comments. Same thing with Instagram. You know, we always talk about Twitter that we take it to each other, but we haven't done anything with that yet. But we'll start that up as well soon as well. You can get us anywhere you get your podcast, any Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere you get your download your podcast. Get us on Alexa. You know, give us some information. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We can't wait to talk to you and give you what you want. That's why we do hockey just for you, Paul. But we do it for everybody as well because we enjoy the sport also. So without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
This has been the Sports Kings from Queens.